2 Corinthians 10, I believe this message can change your life if you'll apply it to your life. It has to do with the devil establishing strongholds in our lives that can cripple us in our Christian walk. So beginning in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So this morning we're going to talk about strongholds. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be able to open your word together this morning and hear from you. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would be able to speak to every heart, that we would open our hearts, Lord, and allow you to change us as you see fit. And Lord, that great things would happen in our Christian walk this morning through your power, the power of your word. So we commit this service to you. May you be glorified in it and guide us through it. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So as the Bible explains, we are in the midst of a battle, every one of us. But this battle, even though we are walking in the flesh, as it says there in verse 3, this war that we fight is not in the flesh. And so the flesh is part of the battle, fighting our flesh. But our battle is a spiritual battle, as he's explained here. He says we do not war after the flesh. So our war, our battle, is a spiritual one, even though the flesh is what we live in and what we experience day by day, and it is, of course, part of the enemy, if you will. God explains that our battle is a spiritual one. And this is important for us to understand this morning. If you go to Ephesians 6, God explains it a different way here. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. "But every one of us is in a war." Now, whether we're willing to acknowledge that or not, if you're a born-again believer, you are in a war. The day that you were born again, you were enlisted into God's army as one of His soldiers to fight for His cause, to fight for the cause of men and women, boys and girls, and their souls. And it's a fight that never ends until the trumpet blows or until He takes us home individually. But we are in the midst of a war. Notice Ephesians 6:12, the Bible says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." These are things we can't see with our physical eyes. We can't see these rulers of darkness. We can't see the spiritual wickedness in high places. But we are fighting against them. And the Bible teaches that we are soldiers. Many times we're referred to as soldiers. We're even told in the Scriptures to fight the good warfare, to fight the good fight. But as the Bible explains, our weapons, you know, you can't fight without a weapon, but our weapons are not carnal, not something that we can put our hands on or even our eyes. They are spiritual weapons. And those weapons, of course, are the Word of God and prayer. Now, if you go to Ephesians, oh, you're already at Ephesians 6, note at verse 17. The Bible says, "Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." God explains, if you read this whole passage, it's talking about the armor of God and how we can protect ourselves from the fiery darts of the wicked. But if you read through it, everything here is defensive, except for what we read about in those two verses, the Word of God, which is a sword, and of course prayer. Everything else is just to protect us, but it's only through these weapons of this powerful book and prayer that we can fight. And that is why it is so important that the Word of God be a vital part of our lives, because it is a sword, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Nothing else has that sort of power. But we must wield it. Because we are in a battle with the devil, we are in a battle with this world, and we are in a battle with the flesh. And that battle never ends. It doesn't matter if you've been saved 50 years. It doesn't matter if you were born in this church. You're still going to fight. Because the devil never stops. And so what does the devil do? He brings into our lives, often very subtly, as we read here in verse 5, strongholds. Strongholds. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. What is a stronghold? Look, go to Hebrews chapter 12, just for a moment, if you would. These are things that maybe they were part of our lives before we were saved, that Satan continues to attack us with after we're saved. And so it's up to us to identify them, but also, as it says here, to pull them down with God's strength. Now, we can't pull them down on our own, but God can. Now, notice here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." Every believer in this room has a sin that we can call the besetting sin. Or you might call it a stronghold. And it's different for every person. But what's frustrating for all of us is the devil knows what it is. And therefore the devil uses it, and his helpers use it, to continually attack us, to continue to try to pull us down, and continue to try to ruin our testimony, continue us being a victorious Christian for Jesus Christ. For some, it might be envy. For some, it might be unforgiveness or bitterness, refusing to forgive and let things go. For some, it might be pride. Maybe some can't get victory over blaspheming the Lord with swearing. Maybe it's pornography. That's a very common one these days. Maybe it's ingratitude. Maybe it's being judgmental of others. We meet Christians like that sometimes. Maybe it's selfishness. Maybe it's discontentment. Just throwing out words, we could go on all afternoon, couldn't we? The thing is, you know what it is, and the devil knows what it is, and God wants us to pull it down. Rather than let it continue to be that besetting sin and hold us back from, as we read there in Hebrews, running the race that God has set before us. And I can't tell you over the years in the ministry, how many times I've had to counsel people that can't deal with a stronghold. It's that same thing over and over again that they just believe that they can't get victory over, and they've thrown their hands up and say, "I just can't win." But what does that say about the power of God? Because the Bible says that God is all powerful. And that we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. So when we get to that phase where we say, "I can't win," what are we really saying is that God can't win. And of course, nothing could be further from the truth. But as we see in this passage, this battle with the strongholds typically is a battle in our thought life. Now, it obviously manifests itself very commonly in our behavior, but it starts in the thoughts. And you know, the Bible says, "As he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So that's not saying that we are what we think we are. It's saying that we are what we think. Think about that. So our thought life defines us to a point. And if our thought life is wicked, if our thought life is consumed with these strongholds, then that is the definition of where we are in our walk with Christ. Now, we all have a problem of thinking more highly of ourselves than we should. The Bible warns us about that. But just stop and think about the battle that we fight every week, every day, with a particular stronghold. What are we going to do about it? Because God wants us to be, first of all, to be honest about it. But then second of all, He wants us to, with His power, pull it down and stop letting it hold us back. If you would go to Psalm 15, we'll see an example of where God tells us that what He wants from us is honesty. And that must be where it begins. You can't get victory over a stronghold until you're willing to admit to God that it's there. And there's a lot of Christians that just aren't willing to admit and say, you know, the truth is, I'm constantly battling this particular sin in my life. I'm not saying they have to say it to a person, but they need to say it to God. And be open and honest about where they stand with God. Notice Psalm 15, verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. When you go to the Holy of Holies and spend time with Almighty God, the Creator, God wants honesty. God wants you to speak the truth in your heart. But we have this tendency that started in the Garden of Eden to either try to hide our sin, like Adam and Eve initially did, or to try to blame it on someone or something else. And typically, this is what happened. This is very rampant in our society today, is it not? When someone behaves what we believe to be wrongly, oh, well, it's how they were raised. Or they had this certain experience in their lives, and that justifies the behavior. No, it doesn't. We're accountable for our behavior. Full stop. Now, you might have had a rough upbringing, and I'm sorry for that, but that does not excuse wrong behavior. You might have had a horrible, traumatic experience in your life, and that's sad, and I hope that God can help you get over it, but it does not excuse wrong behavior. And that's what I mean when I say we've got to be willing to come to God and be honest. Say, Lord, I'm struggling with this constantly. And stop either trying to hide it from God or try to blame it. How many times have you heard people say, well, that's just the way I am? Surely you've never heard that before, right? You know, sometimes the way you are is wrong. And God wants to change it. But it's coming to the point of being willing to admit that, isn't it? That's the way I am, and it's wrong. And with God's help, I'm not going to be that way anymore. But that takes some humility, doesn't it, to get to that point. If you would, go to Romans 2, and we'll see where, again, our tendency is to, again, to not admit to these things and to not, therefore, go forward with victory because our tendency is to, as it says here in Romans 2:15, which show the work of their law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or excusing. Now that's what we typically do. Accuse or excuse. Rather than admit. Rather than repent. Rather than beg God for help. Now we all know that thoughts lead to action. Right, the Bible teaches us that in James chapter 1. The Bible says, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. It starts here. That's why the Bible says, casting down imaginations. Bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. That is where the biggest battleground takes place with the devil. Go to 2 Corinthians 11 now, if you would, and I'll show you where Paul explained this to the Corinthians and warned them, if you will, that they were going to fight a battle in their minds. And what is this teaching us? We cannot change our actions until we change our thoughts. Because it starts with the thought life, and that leads to action. So we can't do it from the outside in. We have to do it from the inside out. You know, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If the wrong words are coming out of our mouths, the problem isn't our mouths. The problem is our heart. Notice 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So Paul is admitting here that it's possible for the devil to corrupt our minds with wrong thinking and wrong thoughts or imaginations, as we read in our passage this morning. And so what does God want? Back to our passage, 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations. At the end of the verse, bringing into captivity every thought. And I want you to understand this morning, I'm not trying to say this is easy. It's not. This is tough. This is work. This is a battle. We learned that at the beginning. This is a war. So to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ, to cast down the imaginations in these stronghold areas in our lives, is that easy? Absolutely not. It takes work. It takes repentance. It takes honesty. And it takes a lot of time in the Word and with the Holy Spirit, but it can be done. The Bible tells us, 1 Peter 1, gird up the loins of your mind. It can be done. The Bible says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So it's possible. You know what the good news is? The devil's already been defeated. Amen? So there's no reason for us to get despondent and say it's impossible. We've already won. We're already on the winning side. We are going to heaven. There's nothing the devil can do about it. And the Bible tells us in Romans 16 that one day we're going to put our heel on his neck. I don't know how that works. Are 5 billion people going to take turns? I don't know. I mean, I'm glad it's going to happen, that we get to watch him cast into the lake of fire. He won't be our tormentor. He won't be our tempter. He won't be our accuser anymore. But right now he is. But he's still already lost. And Jesus Christ is his creator. Jesus Christ defeated him at Calvary, and he lives in us. So this can be done. Go to Romans 12, very familiar passage, verses 1 and 2. Most of you could probably quote it by memory. But this is the only solution to a battle in our thought life, is that our thought life be transformed. So, most of you know, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. What's it say? Be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, as we study through the Scriptures, I don't know about you, but I can't find anything in here that has the power to transform our minds other than this itself. It's not going to be done with a self-help course. It's not going to be done by going and visiting a psychologist. It can only be done through the power of this amazing two-edged sword. And our minds can be transformed. You know, we're told in Ephesians 4 to put off the old man, which is corrupt. And then in the next two verses later, it says, put on the new man. But in between the two verses, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The only way that we can put off the old and put on the new is to be renewed. And only the Word of God has that power. So can these strongholds be pulled down? Absolutely. Is it a battle? Yes. Is it going to be work, and is it going to be tough, and is there going to be some pain involved? Probably. But we need to go forward with this attitude that with God, it can be done. Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. That includes pulling down the strongholds. That includes casting down imaginations. That includes bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. And just one last thing. God gave us a warning in verse 6. Go back there if you would. Because I can see everybody thinking, well, if I can just get victory over this stronghold, then that's it. I'm going to be a victorious Christian for the rest of my life. Look what it says. Having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. In other words, if you can get the victory in verses 3 to 5 and you can get the stronghold dealt with and you can cast down the imaginations and you can bring every thought to the obedience of Christ, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God has been dealt with, you can't rest on your laurels. You need to be ready because the devil's going to come and try it again. And then he's going to try it again. It's not going to stop. So having in a readiness, you've got to be ready to revenge the disobedience. Once your obedience is filled, once you've got the victory over the stronghold in your life, and that's going to take a lot of work, But it can be done through the power of God, through His Word, the power of the Holy Spirit. Once that's happened, be ready. Because the devil's going to try it again. But if there's a stronghold in your life, and the devil's using it to hinder your walk with Christ, to hold you back in your testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, to hold you back in the victory that you know God wants you to have and that we already have in Jesus Christ, then deal with it. Take it to God. Start on your knees and give it to the Lord and admit it, and then let God work you through the process of pulling it down. And He has the power to do it. Does He not tell us to ask for anything? Does He not tell us to pray big, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it? It's okay. He's got big shoulders. Amen. Take the big things to Him. Even the big stronghold that's been there for years, take it to God and say, Lord, I want victory over this and I just can't seem to get it. But with your help, let's pull it down together. Amen. Pulling down the strongholds. We can do it. I should say God can do it. We can do it with God's help. And that's what it means when it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So just don't walk out of here this morning with the attitude that it's just never going to happen. That's the wrong attitude. Give God the glory and the power due His name. And admit that with God's help it can be done. And start the process to pull it down.